Tori.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Would you be seated, please? My name is Kevin Dixon, and Father Michael gave me the privilege to officiate this morning while he is attending his sister-in-law's wedding in Edmonton. And it's great to be here in this position, along with Ralph, who's filling in for Steve, and Natalie, who's here always. So great to be here with this wonderful group of people, and especially to be able to worship together with you on this day. Do plan after the service to stay for refreshments in the hall and an opportunity for us to get better acquainted. And especially to any who are visiting with us this morning, we encourage you to stay and get better acquainted. I think there are a couple of announcements from the wardens, so I'll turn it over to them, please.
Morning. It's been a busy week here at St. James. Monday, members of the big group created an aisleway for us from the Stirling Vestry, and so it should be an improvement for accessibility and safety. So thanks to Pete, Dave, and Ernie. We will be installing the book holders at some point soon. So thank you to them. Yay! Tuesday morning, the gardening group finally had a morning of sunshine instead of pouring rain, so we didn't get soaked. So thanks to Pat and Sabra and Ernie for being there for that full hour and a half. Yay! Tuesday afternoon, the chili cookers for Project Hope gathered. And so thanks to Kate, Betty, and Jerry for cooking up some chili. But also I wanted to thank the reinforcements who showed up because we can't do it with four people. Norm and Sabra and Joan and her family all came. So yay, we survived. And we were the first ones to deliver our meals. Phew. Wednesday, Reverend Ann, who is here today. Reverend Ann. There she is, over there. Reverend Ann took our Wednesday service. It's so lovely to have Ann join our St. James community. Thanks so much, Ann. Thursday, another batch of chairs arrived. And thanks to Rebecca for helping me get them in the door. And to Tom and Doug for unpackaging and placing the chairs. We will be moving more of them up here. We just didn't have the room yet, so we'll work on that. And thank you to Kevin Dixon for filling in today. We really appreciate you being here. And thanks, Ralph and Natalie.
Thank you.
So that's been our busy week. What else do I have? Oh, one more reminder, right. Oh, I wrote it out, so I should say it. We will be camping at the Pinery over the Labor Day weekend. So there's still space for you to come and camp with us if you want to come for the day or for the weekend. Please let me know, or Julie Ryan. It does say August 10th, but you can still come if you want to. So thank you.
Would you please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent into our hearts the Spirit of your Son. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you be seated, please?
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels. on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. On holy ground.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, bless my words and touch all our hearts that we may be open to the power, the strength, and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in light of our gospel reading, let me say this. I have never met a bread that I didn't like. Heavy German rye, smoky corn tortillas, light French croissants, flat Eastern pita, plump bagels, either plain or smeared with cream cheese. I like them all. My mother baked bread once a week when I was young. My father had the job of kneading the dough and forming the lump into neat loaves that settled into buttered pans, covered with a clean tea towel, and left in a warm place to rise. And I learned to imitate him until I mastered the rocking motion that squeezed the bubbles out of the dough but still leaves it airy enough to give the freshly baked bread a nice texture. Jesus said, he is bread. Bread for the life of the world. Bread that came down from heaven. And the Apostle Paul described him as a fragrant offering. Can't you almost catch a whiff of fresh baking? Our job, Scripture says, is to be imitators of God, to love as Christ loved us. Be imitators of God and live in love as Christ loved us. Like Jesus, we too are meant to be bread for the world. Now, this sermon this morning, you might think of as the second slice in a sandwich. Because last week, Father Michael was also talking about this bread of life theme. And Barb, if you can move to the next slide, to give you a synopsis of his whole sermon from last week, this is what he said. Get the sacrament that Jesus may be known to you. That's the first slice of this sandwich. The second slice is what I want to talk about this morning, and it's this, Barb. Be the sacrament that Jesus may be known to the world. These two slices go together in order for us to come to a fuller understanding of what it is to be a sacrament. Now, let me say this about being bread for the world. When Christians think about bread in the context of a sermon, or when we talk about it in a church study group, we're inclined to coat our conversation with a thick dollop of symbolism that has a religious flavor. We're conditioned to think of sacramental bread, that bread that gets lifted before God at the altar. We're conditioned to think about the stories of bread in the Bible, the unleavened bread the Israelites made on their way as they escaped Egypt, or the manna that fed them in the wilderness, or the bread that was miraculously multiplied to feed 5,000 along with a few fish. It was through a similar filter that Jesus' listeners in John's gospel were hearing him today when he described himself as bread come down from heaven. What does he mean? They demanded to know. They were taken aback. He was making claims about himself that offended their religious sensibilities because of these filters through which they heard these references to bread. But bread, in a religious context, both then and now, is no longer just bread. It's metaphorical. It's the staff of life, a foretaste of the kingdom. It's food for the journey. We're not just talking about something fluffy with a crust. In church, we see bread through a particular lens. But let's be plain about it. For the world, and especially in our culture that has a quickly disappearing religious memory, bread doesn't mean all these holy things. Bread's just bread. It's true that our society's religious memory is disappearing. You can't just assume anymore at a wedding or at a funeral, for instance, that the people in the congregation know the Lord's Prayer by heart the way that they used to. They may never have had cause to memorize it. Some, even those raised in this country, at a wedding or a funeral, are in the church for the first time. Many come from other religious traditions, and even if they don't, if Christianity is the cultural tradition in which they were reared, they may not have received much of a grounding in Scripture, or for that matter, in Western European literature that was shaped by so much of Christian thought. And so bread, in the eyes of the world, is just bread. A person whose worldview is quite secular may never have heard of manna, like we did from the book of Exodus, or the bread that Gideon demanded during his battle with the Midianites, like we heard in Judges, or the small cake that Elijah requested from the widow of Zarephath, like we read about in 1 Kings. For more and more people, bread is just the slices between which the tuna goes. So what I want to say about being bread for the world is that our symbolic language needs to be unpacked. Let me take a shot at unpacking this. To describe bread as simply as possible is just this. Bread satisfies hunger. And before we rush too quickly from our interpretation of today's text from John, rushing from the physical to the spiritual meaning of hunger, we need to think about bread the way many, many people in the world think about it. People for whom hunger is not a metaphor, not a symbol of something else. Hunger is their daily life and death. Bread satisfies hunger. At one level, to be bread for the world means literally to feed the hungry. Now, you and I can't feed all the world's starving children alone, and it's been pointed out repeatedly, including by me from this pulpit in the past, that the problem of world hunger is a complex one that's related to international debt and deforestation and changing global weather patterns and other things. But the complexity of the problem doesn't change the fact that people are simply hungry. So whenever we write a check designated Primates World Relief and Development Fund, or make a donation to some other organization that addresses food insecurity, or participate with canned goods in one of this parish's food bank campaigns, we can know that we are doing something rather than nothing, that we are at least part of the solution. And you might think about it this way. Our energy is converted to the money we've earned, which in turn we give, which in turn is converted to bread. We're bread. Bread satisfies hunger. But here's the flip side. Sometimes what people experience is not physical hunger, and no amount of bread can satisfy this hunger. They're hungry nonetheless. And it's the kind of hunger that arises when life feels futile. It is a spiritual hunger. And what the marketing gurus of our culture encourage us to do when we feel this spiritual hunger is to satiate it with something physical, a quick fix, something sticky sweet or shiny or fashionable or fast or young. You remember the advertisement for Volvo cars that pushed this enticement to the limit? It was a long time ago, and the voiceover for the ad was none other than Canadian actor Donald Sutherland. But what did he say about Volvo? Finally, a car that can save your soul. Not likely. Nope. Spiritual hunger will not be satisfied with any stuff we ingest or drive or with which we surround ourselves. It's not in filling ourselves that our yearning is glutted. Listen to me. What I'm saying is so self-evident, and yet it's a lesson all of us, myself included, need to be reminded of. My message this morning should come as a surprise to no one. We already know the truth of it. An evangelical friend of mine likes to say, we have a Jesus-shaped hole in our hearts that we try to fill with other things. And truism though it may be, I was struck by the wisdom of a statement I heard in all places on an old episode of Bless Me, Father. The old priest said to his young curate, the difference between rich people and poor people is this, my boy. Rich people do not enjoy the poor person's dream that money will bring them happiness. Now, society tries to get us to chase this futile dream anyway. We know better, but we do it anyway. Jesus taught us that spiritual hunger is filled not when our lives are spent trying to satisfy ourselves. Happiness comes not from pursuing our own happiness. Happiness is not an objective in and of itself. Happiness is a byproduct. Satisfaction comes when we give ourselves away. Jesus gave himself away on a cross, and it became a path to new life. Easter came because Jesus gave himself away. And the people I know whose spiritual hunger has been satisfied best are the people who have imitated this way of being bread for the world. Bread satisfies hunger. Being bread for the world means to be a sacrament of God's love for the world. There, now I've done it. I'm getting religious and speaking sacramentally and going right back to spiritual symbolism. I just can't help myself. Right back to where I started when I said, Scripture urges us to be imitators of Christ. Yesterday I attended a funeral. And at one point in the eulogy, we heard that Ricardo, who had died, would sometimes get up on a Sunday morning, preparing to go to church, and would say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. He was talking about the sacrament. I need Jesus. But then the eulogy went on, and we heard more and more about Ricardo's life, a life that was characterized by so much trauma. And yet we heard about the way that he interacted with other people. And he was Jesus. He was Jesus. He reached out to the world with the hands of Jesus. He was an imitator of Christ. He was bread for the world. Now, imitating Christ doesn't mean walking around in sandals and spouting parables. It means making our best efforts to love others with the same love Jesus shared with us on earth. Imitating Christ means patterning our life after his. But to be clear, it does not mean faking holiness. Faking holiness is like walking down the beach with your stomach held in and trying to convince yourself and the people around you that you're fit when you're not. If a person wants to get fit, it takes more than a tummy tuck. It requires discipline and exercise. It means cutting down on the bread. Less physical input and more output. Bread satisfies hunger. But as imitators of Christ, and in the spirit of St. Francis of Assisi, we need to be less concerned with satisfying our own hunger. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as together we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together in prayer for the church, for the world, for all God's creation. Let us pray.
Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Lord, in your love, you enable us to share in your life. So fill your church with this vitality, that it may proclaim your glory to all the world. As we share in the sacrament of your body and blood, may we abide in you as you abide in us. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Lord, in your love, you pour out your gift of wisdom. Give to those with responsibility for government a wise and discerning mind. Grant that all nations may walk with insight and truth. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Lord, in your love, you set before us a model of wholesome living. Keep us from false substitutes for true spiritual and emotional health. Set free all bound by alcohol or drug dependency. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Lord, in your love, you regard the weak and vulnerable. Send your spirit upon all hungry for your healing touch. Today, we pray especially for Anna, Ashley, Carolyn, Maxine, Alan and Sherry, Eunice, Gavin, Don and Nancy, Kevin, Sylvia, Catherine, Shanae, Joan and family, Robert, Brian, and Marilyn. At all times and in all places, teach us to sing your praises. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Lord, in your love, you hold us out the promise of eternal life. Remember for good all who have died. We pray especially for Jeff's daughter, Heather. As we feed on you, so may we come to share in your life forever. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you stand, please? May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you. Loving God and Father, you have adopted us to be your heirs. Accept all we offer you this day and give us grace to live as faithful children. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
God's will is done. In a world
Standing, let us pray. Eternal God, we have received a token of your promise. May we who have been nourished by holy things live as faithful heirs of your promised kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Return now to the places where God has given you responsibility. Remember the peace and love we have shared, and do not fail to show the new life to all people around you. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Encourage the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Strengthen those who fail. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Peace, to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.